Today's scripture reading is taken from the book of Ephesians. I'll be reading from chapter 6, verses 10 to 20. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. This is the word of God.
Let us go to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, it's a topic that we don't often speak of. So Father, we pray that even as we listen to the interpretation of your word, may your Holy Spirit give us discernment and wisdom as we think about our lives and what's happening around us. Keep us alert, Lord. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The Art of War by Sun Tzu, if you are familiar, is a widely quoted book. Researchers believe that it was written between 475 to 221 BC by a Chinese general and a military strategist. And today, the principles of this book is often interpreted in the use of business, politics, sports, and life in general. And a fundamental theory or principle from this book is one must know the enemy to win every battle. Know the enemy, know yourself. In other words, what resource you have, what are you capable of? Our passage today tells of an enemy that we must know as we follow our Lord Jesus Christ. Like Sun Tzu, I think it's called Sun Tzu Bing Fa, right? We must know our enemy so that we know who are we up against. We also need to understand the schemes, the tactics that he uses against us. But unlike the art of war, the Christian enemies are unseen and powerful. Human methods cannot win this enemy. And so in our sermon today, we will learn not just the enemy that we face, but also the resources that God provided against this enemy. God has equipped us against this ancient foe. But first, let's look back at what we have learned in the book of Ephesians, because this is the concluding chapter. In Ephesians 1 to 3, we hear about the Trinitarian collaboration in securing our salvation. The Father chose and predestined us to be his children. The Son secures that salvation through His sacrifice at the cross. He atoned for our sins through His blood. Only His blood can atone sins, because there's no other perfect sacrifice for sin. None worthy enough. And God also deposited the Holy Spirit in us as a guarantee that we are the children of God. And the Holy Spirit is the one that empowers us to live this transformed life. And we learn in Ephesians that God saved us not for a ticket to heaven, but to live out Christ's likeness while we are on earth. And so in chapter 4 to 5 calls for a different walk as you follow Jesus Christ, a different life and lifestyle as you walk with Him. We are to walk in unity, especially within the church. We are to walk in holiness. We are to walk in love, in light, in wisdom. What all this means is that following Jesus is going to be a transformation as we put off that old life and put on this new life and walk with Christ. It's going to be a transformation of our lifestyle, our behavior, even our speech. It is going to be seen in our relationship with people. We are not going to be Christians on Sunday, but Monday to Sunday, at workplace, at home, everywhere. That is the walk that God calls us to. And Paul reminds us again at midway in chapter 5 why we walk this way and why we follow Jesus Christ. Look at our identity. You are the imitators of God, like father, like child. So when the world sees you and wants to know who God is, you are the reflection of it. The love of God, the care of God. That is what it means to be imitators of God, a child of God. And we follow because no one can love us the way that Jesus loves. He sacrificed, gave Himself as a fragrant offering to the Lord. However, as we walk the Christian walk, the apostle, at the conclusion of his letter, felt it important to warn us that this walk, this transformation, is not going to be without opposition. He already highlighted it in chapter 2. He tells us of an old enemy at work before we follow Jesus Christ. He calls this enemy the Prince of Power. And what is the purpose of this enemy? This enemy, basically, his key purpose is to make us not follow Jesus Christ, not walk with God, to walk the opposite way, to make us disobedient. The devil is not going to step back and let you enjoy this walk. In fact, he will step up his game and continue to attack us, to entice us to go back to the old ways. And that is why we still face temptation, we still face struggles in our faith. He will lure us to gratify the cravings of our flesh, our desires, and our thoughts. And he will always be at work until Christ comes again. And so in our passage today, Paul elaborates who this enemy and his schemes. And he tells us, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. You know, we often think that our greatest enemy is the human being that is giving us a lot of problems. Yes, the physical sense is that there is this person who is giving us problems. But it's interesting that Paul says that our fight or our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Why? Because there is a profound and more powerful force influencing the behavior and the act that we see in front of us, causing brokenness, causing wickedness that we see in people. The apostle did not elaborate precisely the identity of the rulers, the authorities, or the cosmic powers or the spiritual forces. The point is, we need to be aware that there are spiritual forces that somehow God has given them that temporary space over the sphere of earth to rule for a little while until Christ comes again. That's something we see in Revelations, the final judgment. We see an example of these cosmic powers at work during Jesus' ministry, his time on earth. A key part of Jesus' ministry is to drive out these unclean spirits. And they recognize who Jesus is. They fear him. Some time ago, I received a call from someone asking for help. And this person's brother had episodes of epilepsies, you know, just go down in fits and things like that. And the family was worried and fearful, you know, asking for advice. So I thought that this is a medical condition, and so I tell this brother, you know, have you seen a doctor? Have he seen a doctor, his brother? He told me that whenever this incident happens, yes, they call an ambulance, doctor does a brain scan, runs some tests, but couldn't find anything conclusive. I thought that it's still a medical condition, he should seek help from the hospitals. Doctors and hospitals are God's grace to all of us. But then he said something that I felt that doesn't sound quite right. He told me that when this happens, when his brother have this attack, he becomes a totally different person. So I said, what do you mean? He speaks in a different voice. He says things that is not him. In fact, he starts hurling abusive language, which is very, very unlikely of his gentle demeanor. So much so that the wife was terrified and they decided to move out of the house and stay somewhere else. So I said, for this matter, I need to visit the family. They welcome the visit even though they are not Christians. And as we spoke, I can see the fear in the spouse's eyes, and she was still shaken, sobbing as they recount the incidents. She couldn't understand why her husband became a totally different person and spoke in a totally different voice. As I dig deeper at my conversation with the couple, I learned that they follow their extended family to a country nearby to worship certain idols that they do not know and participate in rituals that they are unfamiliar with. They are not Christians, so I can only advise them in a gentle way that you probably need to avoid this. Shared with them a passage in Mark showing, pointing them to Jesus, that he is the one that can drive out unclean spirits. He's the one that we need to turn to. So I prayed with them, gave them a Bible, told them to read the Bible, encouraged them to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. The incident could be medical, it could be spiritual, or could be both. The point is, we cannot underestimate that there are cosmic powers, spiritual powers still at work. And we need to be especially careful in participating in some of these activities. In fact, for believers, there is no reason why we should even be engaged in all this. Today, the occult activities are on the rise. It is subtle. I read an article recently that says that astrology, zodiac signs, has exploded in popularity in the recent years. Celebrities are quoting it, influencing young minds. And an alarming number of young people actually believe in such truth. This is a picture of TikTok, Instagram, and there are modern-day witches. And this article highlights that TikTok has become the home of modern witchcraft. TikTok make it a safe haven for those who have interests in this occult, and they are drawing more and more people into this practice. As I read this article, there's even this person who attempts to connect with his viewers. This is online. He can connect with his viewers with a spirit. And they have reaction even though it is online. And some viewers even cannot explain why there is a purple mark on their hands. In another article I read, it highlights the rise of occult games. Games, online games today have occult features in them. And they are gaining popularity. Brothers and sisters, especially my young friends, be very, very careful of what you are filling your mind with. Don't play with this kind of content. I think there are better things you can occupy your time with. Some of these things may open doors for cosmic powers and spiritual forces to gain a foothold in your life. God has already warned us thousands of years ago in the Old Testament not to practice any form of divination, not to seek a charmer, not to seek a sorcerer. All these are sin against God. Trust in his wisdom. We heard about our enemy. They are unseen, they are powerful, they are very much alive today. And we need to guard against the content that we are receiving, especially from the social medias. The devil today is not stupid. The devil today will not appear before you with a tail and a fork. He will not want to scare you, because if he scares you like that, you won't come back to him. He wants to make himself attractive, so much so that you will go to him. There is a very important word in this passage that I need to highlight to you. You see, the devil's strategy, it's not horror story, Pontiana, that kind of thing, you know. It's a very important word here, schemes. This word in the Greek, methodia, is where we get the word, English word method. Method is a neutral word, the English word is neutral. But in the original language, this word scheme, method, methodia, has the element of craftiness, deceit, and lies. And that is what the devil does. Not appear before you, but uses his schemes. Anything that causes lie, anything that causes you to waver, anything that is attractive, you think is 99% truth, but he puts in that 1% false. A few months ago, I bought something from what I think is a reputable app. And when we buy things from this app, we always look at different sellers and which one offers the best price, don't we? So I buy from the cheapest store. I thought I got a good deal. But then I receive, after a while, a puzzle, but inside is not the product that I ordered. I receive a Christmas cap. So you know the Santa Claus cap? And then I thought, oh, okay, maybe this is the free gift lah, huh? Free gift that come before the actual product. Maybe the actual product is delayed somewhere, huh? And I waited and waited and waited, and then it never come. And then I read the newspaper. Oh, there's a scam that people receive Christmas cap for what they buy. Then I realized, oh, I've been scammed. Thank God I got a refund. Many people in Singapore fall to scammers, isn't it? Some cause fear. This is a call from the Ministry of Health. Others offer you job. Some manipulate your feelings. At first, I wonder, you know, why people so gullible? Why they fall into all this scam? Until I fall into a scam myself. Just this week, I received this email. It says, I have a refund. I think it's 7,481. At first, when I look at this SP group, I thought, wow, SP group has been cheating me, you know? They charge me. Then I look, something is not right. There's an icon there, continue. Click or don't click. I hope we are wise enough not to click. Brothers and sisters, the devil is the king of scammers. If we can fall into human scams like that, the devil is more scheming than what you think. The Bible describes him, Jesus describes him in John 8, the father of lies. In the book of Revelation, he is the deceiver of the whole world. The author of all these scams is the devil, the chief scammer. And his scheme against us is one of craftiness, cunning strategies. And he does it in a variety of ways. And you could be in his scheme or being scammed without realizing it. One of the devil's favorite schemes is to plant doubts in our minds about God's goodness and God's word. We see it in Adam and Eve, right at the start of creation. Did God actually say you cannot eat any of the tree in the garden? Eve got it right. God says we can eat every of the tree except one tree. You see the scam? God is a generous God who gives Adam and Eve everything except one. But the way the devil says, hey, God is mean, don't want you to eat. However, Eve falls for the second lie. And the devil says, but if you eat the fruit, you become like God. That is not something God says. That is precisely what God says you do not eat it for. And there goes the fall of humanity. The devil's scheme today can be the negative influences, the changing worldview, shifting ideologies, cultural norms that wage war against God's word. One of the changing worldview today is same-gender marriages and families. God's intention for marriages and families, the procreation of families from two different gender, is challenged today. Did God really say it must be two gender? Perhaps not everything should be attributed to the devil's scheme. It could be due to our own human fallenness. And we also may not be certain if it's something is the scheme of the evil one, but we should be careful of the content and the potential harm that we see around us. The big news this week is about TikTok, isn't it? Partly because the CEO of TikTok is a Singaporean, and he appears before Congress this week. Congress is like our parliament, and he has to give an account to the lawmakers in the United States about the app security and content. Now, besides the political and the security concerns that the lawmakers bombarded him, Congress aired concerns over the app's power over US children. TikTok is promoting content that encourages eating disorder, illegal drug sales, and sexual exploitation. That is the accusation against the app. And one of the lawmakers showed the committee a collection of short TikTok videos that appear to glorify self-harm, suicide, outrightly telling viewers about all these things and encouraging it. One of the lawmakers said this, it's in our Straits Times, "Your technology is literally leading to death. We must save our children from big tech companies like yours who continue to abuse and manipulate them for your own gain." TikTok, or Congress, is considering to ban TikTok in the US. We do not know if this is the scheme. We are not sure. But we need to be careful. What kind of influence go into our minds? What is influencing the next generation? The devil uses all these schemes, and you fall for it even though you do not know, because he's the father of lies. So how do we go against the reality that there are such forces against us? Are we strong enough when all these things are very powerful in how they shape the world, the world views, our mind, without us even realizing it? Sometimes we are herd mentality, you know, we just follow the herd without questioning it. We are entertained by it, we give our time and our resources to these things. But slowly and surely, it is corrupting the mind, and it will be seen in the behavior in a matter of time. So how has God enabled us? Paul begins his conclusion of Ephesians in chapter 6 with this: finally, be strong. Be strong. The word "be strong" in the original Greek is dunamis. That's where we get the English word dynamite. So what Paul is saying is you can be strong. You are like a dynamite. You have the power to be able, to stand and to withstand all these things. He tells us to stand, to withstand, and to stand three times in this passage. He's not giving you a pep talk. He's saying followers of Jesus Christ are able to stand against all these things. Why? Because we stand in the Lord, in the strength of His might. To stand means to offer resistance, unmovable, unshakable. We are no pushovers. Why are we able to stand? Because it says here, we are strong in the Lord and His mighty power. In other words, God will enable us. He promised it. Earlier in chapter 3, Paul already prayed for the believers to have spiritual strength. He may grant you to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in your inner being. Brothers and sisters, God has strengthened you in your inner being. But we do have a personal responsibility in our choices, in our decisions, in our behavior. And the Holy Spirit has empowered us in the fight. And not just that, Paul tells us twice in verses 11 and 13, put on the full armor of God. We have an armor that God has already provided and equipped us. Now, Paul's description of this armor probably stems from Isaiah 59, verse 7, which tells of this spiritual armor. The verse says, he puts on righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation on his head. But the apostle also may have drawn from his observation as a prisoner of the gospel, as he looks at this Roman soldier guarding him, he is inspired by their uniform and he thinks to himself, how much more believers ought to put on the armor. The armor that he sees in front of him, the world puts on the battle-ready armor to fight a war. And we cannot be ignorant not to have a spiritual armor. But unlike the soldier's uniform, this is the armor of God. In other words, God provided this armor. You don't fight with our own human strength and resources. In verses 14 to 17, Paul describes the component of the earthly armor to illustrate the spiritual fight. There's no one way to interpret them, but we can use reasonable interpretation, what it means in the context then, and how it can apply to our spiritual situation or battle. So Paul says, fasten with the belt of truth. If you look at the belt of truth in the Roman soldier attire, this is what it looks like. And it has stripes of leather and is meant to protect the lower thigh of a soldier. It's an apron. And one of the schemes of the devil is always to twist the truth. Did God really say this? So he says we first have to fasten this belt. We need to know the truth. Because if you waver, that's where the devil attacks and temptation comes in. Tie it tight. Sometimes the devil says, hey, don't have to go to church to be spiritual. Stay at home. Weather is nice, sleep. We need a good diet of God's word, God's truth. And that is the first thing a soldier has to put on. Today, truth is relative. Everybody thinks truth their own way, even Christians. People can interpret the Bible according to their own perception of truth and according to their own hidden agenda. A passage that says this is sin can be argued by another person that it is not sin. We need to go deeper than surface reading. So some very broad principles of interpretation. Number one is what is mentioned here, repeated in the New Testament as sin. If it's in both Testaments, then it's quite clear there's nothing to be argued about. It's also important to see the interpretation of the passage in light of how churches and Christian communities interpret it down the history and time, and not your interpretation of the word. God has used the church and tradition in how to interpret the Bible. So what is the collective view of the Christian churches on this topic? Brothers and sisters, we need to tighten our belts in knowing and understanding God's truth. If this first layer is off, everything falls apart. So if you have a consistent habit of reading, meditating on God's word, good, keep it up. If you have sidetracked from it, get back to it. The breastplate of righteousness. A typical soldier wears the breastplate. It covers the vital organs like the lungs and the heart, the major organs, right? That's why you put on the breastplate. So the evil one, if you want to make an application, can attack our heart, our emotion, our self-worth. You are an unworthy child of God. It's important to remember our identity and the promises we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I like this article. I read it in a BBC, one of the articles, and it was talking about mental health. And in that article, it says that our brain tends to slow down in the evening because of all the activities we slow down, right? When we slow down, that is where the mind starts to accuse us. I don't know if it's true to you. In the evening, especially, you will feel that I've not done this well enough. I should have done that, you know, kind of thing. And then you feel lousy about yourself. Interesting article. But I thought it's also important for us to remember to put on that breastplate of righteousness. There's a very powerful passage in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 6. Can you imagine? God says this to you. You have been raised with Him, seated with Him in the heavenly places with Christ. That is your identity. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise about your worth. I will not go on to the rest, the interest of time, but it's in your Bible study as you do and cover it in your cell group, have good fun learning what it can mean. Another one can be the shield of faith. In the olden days, the shield is to protect the soldier. And it's interesting that in the olden days, the shield, which is made of wood, is covered by animal skins. And they soak it before the battle, soak it in water. Why? Because the enemy is firing fiery darts, literally. So the shield, if it's wet, can extinguish these darts. And often when a soldier is tempted to first abandon the shield because it's heavy in a fight. But that is the shield that is very important to protect him. So Paul calls it here the shield of faith. Don't abandon your faith. Keep it there. In verses 18 to 20, Paul tells, the armor is like the hardware that God provided, but God also provided the software, if I can put it that way, an important software to empower us, to empower the hardware. And he tells us in verse 18, right up to 20, pray, pray, pray. You know, last Friday, Reverend Jackson was practicing on the guitar as we were preparing for the prayer meeting. And we were wondering, why no sound come out from the guitar? He was strumming over there. And then we had a good laugh because we forgot one simple thing. The cable is not connected to the guitar. That's why there's no sound. There's no sound coming out from the house. We laughed about it. But it's a simple thing, isn't it? When plugged to the right source, the guitar fills the whole sanctuary. And at times we are like that. We forget to plug ourselves in the right power, the Holy Spirit, through prayer. We think of all our resources, we look at everywhere, we look at our what we can do, what we cannot do, but we forget that the power to overcome the situation is from God. And He has provided the Holy Spirit. How do we tap on this power? 5 times in 3 verses. Pray. All situation. Why we pray? We know why we pray, because we are not dealing with human beings. We're dealing with forces that are very subtle, but yet very powerful, to swing us, to manipulate us. So at times we do not know, even if we fall into a scheme of the evil one. So prayer keeps us alert. Prayer gives us peace. That's what Philippians 4 tells us. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, present your requests to the Lord, and the peace of God will guard your hearts and your mind. There's something supernatural about prayer, and God works through prayer. A soldier cannot fight alone. No war theory wins with fighting alone. A soldier has to be part of a battalion, a division. The more he sees people around him, the more courageous he can be. And that tells of a community. Brothers and sisters, this fight, we can't fight alone. And so it's important also to ask our community to pray along with us. If Paul, an apostle, asked for prayer, pray for me when I speak. Pray that I may declare fearlessly. If Paul, an apostle, asked for prayer, how much more you and I? Look at Jesus' example. He will sneak out from his ministry alone and pray and connect with his Heavenly Father. Brothers and sisters, God has provided for us far beyond something, not by our human strength, to fight and to stand against all these forces. He provided the armor, he provided his spirit. So tap on the right power. C.S. Lewis is the one who says that you can give the devil too much or too little attention. The point is, we cannot swing to either extremes. But we need to be aware that there are spiritual forces against us, that he needs schemes. But God promised that we can stand against such things. He has provided the Holy Spirit to strengthen us. He tells us about his armor. Put that on. And if you look into the armor of God, it's nothing like out of the blue. It boils down to our spiritual disciplines, true and tested across the ages and history of the church. And that has been what kept the people of God going. So don't put away this armor. Put it on. Make sure it's in good condition, working condition. And we can stand strong against any power or any schemes of the evil one by putting on the armor of God. Let us pray. Brothers and sisters, let's come before the Lord. You know, if there are temptations that you have given in to, if there are things that you feel that you probably have allowed the evil one to have an influence over, if you do not have peace and always concern and want to come to the Lord in prayer, will you do it at this point of time? Ask the Lord to strengthen you. If your armor is rusty, not in good condition, pray and ask the Lord to renew your commitment to hold on to the Word of God, to know, to understand it, to give you the discipline to read and to know, the desire to know Him deeper. Father, Father, you love us so much. You love us so much that you send your Son, you save us, but you have also equipped us. Lord, I pray that each one of us will take back today's word, reflect it deeper, and polish up our armor. For Lord, you have said in your word, and we claim your promise, that we can stand against any force that is against us because we have you, we have the Holy Spirit that you have put into our lives. So keep us alert, Lord. Keep us prayerful. For this we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Test. Thank you, Reverend Trima. You stand with me, church. You stand with me as we sing this song as a reflection. And as we sing through, a reminder that indeed we have Christ with us in each and every battle. What gift of grace is Jesus, my Redeemer? There is no more for heaven now to give. He is my joy, my righteousness and freedom, my steadfast love, my deep and boundless peace. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus, for my life is wholly bound to His. Oh, how strange and divine, I can sing, all is mine, yet not I, but through Christ in me. Let's have the sisters sing for us.
The night is dark, but I am not forsaken. For by my side, the Savior, He will stay. I labor on in weakness and rejoicing, for in my need, power is displayed.
To this I hope, my shepherd will defend me through the deepest valley. He will lead. Oh, the night has been won, and I shall. Let's sing together. No fate I dread, I know I am forgiven. The future sure, the price it has been paid. For Jesus bled and suffered for my pardon, and He was raised to overthrow the grave. All together. To this I hold, my sin has been defeated. Jesus now and ever is my peace. Oh, the chains are released, I can sing. I am free, yet not I, through Christ in me. With every breath
I long to follow Jesus, for he has said that he will bring me home. And day by day, I know he will renew me until I stand with joy before the throne. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus. All the glory evermore to him. When the race is complete, still my lips shall repeat, yet not I, but through Christ in me. When the race is complete, when the race is complete, still my lips shall repeat, yet not I, but true Christ in me. Yet not I, but true Christ in me. Yet not I, but true Christ in me.
Thanks be to God. Please be seated.